WBR, Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Shu Bartholomew. And joining me on the Commons today, we have my old friend Jan Bergman. Jan is president of Cyber Citizens for Justice, a Florida-based organization that has been doing some absolutely remarkable things. Jan, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're very busy right now, but I appreciate you taking time out to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, like usual. I like to be on your show. It's always fun talking to you, and I think we can do a lot of good letting people know what can be done and what should be done.
Well, first of all, I mean, you've been on since then, but I just want to touch very lightly on the fact that you had a conference in February, and it was very well attended, and it was basically two days, and you had people from across the country who came took part in it and just came to be with you. That was a huge success. But what's really nice, Jan, is the number of people you had from Florida who came from different parts of the state to attend.
Yeah, that was very good, and it was very much appreciated by many people. And they said, you know, we never had the opportunity to talk, to listen to people who know the situation, who are trying to do something about it. And it was really nice, and we have for this winter three town hall meetings planned in Florida again, where we will give the owners and citizens the opportunity to speak up, to say their piece, and to tell us what they really want. We will have legislators at these meetings who are willing to listen and who want to listen, because we will next year have a big HOA reform bill filed here in Florida, and we are working on details. And one of the things we're doing at the moment is we have a survey on our website, which gets really good responses. We're closing in on 1,000 valid responses already.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. It goes day by day, and the media has picked up on it, and we will get more media exposure from different big major newspapers, which will increase the number of surveys definitely. And so it will be an all-state event. We have answers from everywhere, from Pensacola to Jacksonville to the Keys. So it will be really good to see what the people really want.
Okay. Jan, who do you want answering this survey? It's people in Florida, right?
Yes. It will be a Florida bill, so it doesn't help us really as much as input is appreciated if people from Texas answer, because they have some different bills they're working on there. See, Florida has different statutes than most of the other states. And so it is really important that the people who live here, who live in these associations, really tell us what they want and what's on their mind, because they're the ones who have to live with it in the end.
And how do people fill out or answer this survey?
It is an interactive survey on the website. You just answer 14 questions, yes and no. And it goes from creating a government agency to developer control to rental restrictions, you name it. We created the questions actually from the input we received over the last 2 years from homeowners, you know, and we kind of selected them by priority. And honestly, we did pretty well, because The first question is enforcement by regulatory agency is answered so far by about 96% with yes.
Well, okay, and they can find this survey on your website?
Yes.
And the web address is?
www.ccfj.net.
So based on the responses, based on what people actually want and feel is important to them, you are going to help draft or, you know, propose legislation?
Yes. Well, actually, we already have the sponsors in place for the legislation. It will be the same team of legislators who sponsored and pushed through the legislature this year's condo bill, which was a real great success. The same team, Senator Alex Villalobos and Representative Julio Robina, who was on your show last week, will be the sponsors of a big HOA reform bill.
And so based on, and you know, what I said to Yana, what I said to Julio when he was on, because he said based on the information he gathered while he was out traveling the length and the breadth of the state, he sort of drafted legislation. And I said, my goodness, I said, what a concept that a legislator is actually going to the people to find out what they want instead of having some piece of garbage just shoved down their throats because it was, you know, something that was on an industry wish list or special interests. You have in Florida, actually, you have legislators who are willing to listen to the people. I think that's great.
Well, we are really blessed with some good legislators who are really willing to do the right thing, and who are willing to admit that what they get presented from the industry is not what the industry tells them, because they're telling them it's the wish of the people. We represent 500 community associations, and all these people want that. So funny enough, when you ask them these communities they claim to represent, if they know who the CAI or whoever they are, or CORE here in Florida is, they say, no, who's that? Who's that? Why, that are the people who claim to represent you.
That's right.
Hey, never heard of them. How can they represent me? Well, that's a big question, which I question since years, but they say it anyway, and there are still some legislators who believe it. But, you know, there are still people in the world who believe in the fairy tales of the Brothers Grimm, so it's no miracle that we have these people. Oh, yes. I mean, they still believe in the fairy tales that community associations protect the property value. I mean, anybody who hasn't figured out that they have been taken for a ride must fail to read the newspaper, watch TV, or whatever. Or maybe they only watch American Idol.
I don't know, but I tell you, it's kind of hard to say that they protect property values when you look at the news and look around you, actually in your own neighborhoods, and you will see that these are not protecting your
they're destroying property values, actually.
They are. They absolutely are. You know what, Jan? I mean, you and I talk offline, off the air as well, and you were telling me, and I've heard from a lot of people, but, you know, because of associations, people are being special assessed phenomenal amounts of money.
Yeah,
because
the
association's not working.
Well, one of the problems is definitely the bad economy and the non-existing real estate market here in Florida. You have these associations, especially the newer ones, they have huge amounts of homes empty, not paying dues, homes being foreclosed upon, nobody claims them. But the association is still required to pay the bills, like the management company, the bulk cable contract, and so on, which means that the few people who are still there and who are paying have to pay for all the others as well. And see, since the economy is pretty bad and a lot of families have a very stressed budget, they get suddenly hit with special assessments because they need to pay for what the neighbors don't pay. And suddenly they hear, oh, yeah, your monthly dues doubled. We need a special assessment of $800 just for the moment, more to come. You know, these are amounts that finally create havoc in families' budgets. and so now the what let's consider them the good families, meaning the families who took care of their income and of their financial deals, they are certainly in the bind because they get hit with costs they never anticipated, and more people go broke, and then they live in war zones because the neighbor is not mowing the lawn. The neighbor has, or the former neighbor had a pool, which is now full of frogs and fish, and it stinks through the whole neighborhood. And guess what? The association has to take care of it, and they pay for it. And guess who pays? The owner.
The owner, yeah.
You know, it is really bad, and I get hit so often. With what do? We can't pay that, but they demand it. They say they lean in for clothes on our home. See, that even creates more problems because another lean, another foreclosure, and another empty home.
And the attorneys get richer, right?
Oh, yeah, by the day, and they're all happy about it. I mean, they always say, oh, this is horrible. We don't like to do it. But, you know, they don't have trucks big enough to carry all the money they're making.
Yeah, they keep stirring the pot. They say they don't like it, but they keep stirring the pot to
make sure. Telling the association board, you know, we have to run to the courthouse, you know, in order to foreclose before anybody else would.
That's terrible. That's just an absolute abomination.
Here comes the other issue. You know, with the bad economy and the bad real estate market, people who would be normally forced to sell can't sell because there's no buyer. Absolutely. You know, even if they lower their initial price by 25-30%, they don't even get somebody who is looking at the property, much less trying to buy it. And then here comes these fancy associations who passed rental restrictions.
I know.
And now their only way out to get some money to pay the mortgage for and the association due would be to rent the property. But they're not allowed to. So what happens? They just leave the house there. They go away, and suddenly everybody's sitting there with another empty house. Instead of doing the thing which makes common sense, meaning renting it and waiting that the economy recovers.
Yeah, but you see, Jan, if they rent it, then it's going to devalue property.
Oh, yeah. Well, what is there left to devalue? Excuse me.
Well, you see, this is what they keep telling us. You know, your renters aren't going to take as good care of your property.
Yeah, well, and you know, if you have too many renters, nobody will mortgage your home anymore. You know, they don't do it anyway.
I know. Nowadays with this economy, that's true. But they make it so damn difficult. I mean, you have a bigger problem in Florida because it is sort of a snowbird state. In other words, you've got people who come and they just winter down there and they come back up to the north when it's, you know, when it's summer up here. But generally speaking, I mean, this whole concept of banning rentals is a disease that seems to have gripped the entire country. Oh, we can't allow you to rent your house. I mean, we'll let you foreclose and we'll let it fall into disrepair. But you see, if you rent it, a tenant's not going to take good care of it, and it's going to devalue property. So we can't have that.
Yeah, but this is what I sometimes don't understand in this country. You know, people believe everything they're being told.
That's true. That's very true.
They don't inquire themselves. They don't look up things. You know, they most of them have a computer but fail to look up what is really going on. You know, here comes a property manager who passed his 8-hour sitting through the session to get a license deal, who has been in some other profession before where obviously it didn't work out. Now he's certainly a property manager. This property manager tells the board and the owners all the good things he needs to do, but he doesn't know what to do. You know, he doesn't have the necessary knowledge. So these board members, and many of them are really lost. You know, because they don't have the background to deal with these kind of business issues. You know, many think it's kind of a social club, you know, where they get some coffee and donuts for sitting on the board. There are serious business decisions to make. Millions of dollars are in the budget. And then they give contracts to people without a contractor's license. You know, we have a condo down in down south. They get the third roof in 2 years because the board every time failed to check if the roof contractor had a license. They put something together. They paid, in one case, $800,000 from a special assessment. Now the county says, oh, sorry, you know, the roof is no good. You have to replace the roof. You know, cost another $800,000. And every time the condo owners pay.
So, you were telling me about this yesterday. By the way, we're talking to Jan Bergman. Jan is president of the Florida-based Cyber Citizens for Justice, has an outstanding website at ccfj.net. Check it out if you haven't been there already. Jan, tell me a little bit more about this. You were telling me this story yesterday. This association ended up paying for three roofs at a cost of tons and tons and tons of money.
Well, see, it started out with a hurricane, like most of the problems here in Florida. And the roof went, the roof had to be replaced, insurance was in place, there were even some reserve money, was money in the reserve account, so everything looked fine. The board hired a roofer who didn't have a license. Now, one of the owners found out and told the board. The board told him, shut up. So the owner went to the building department. The building department said, you're right, the guy doesn't have a license, and red-tagged the building and stopped the roofer from doing the job, which was correct because he wasn't even allowed to by law. So what happens? The board sues the owner for interfering with association business for telling the building department that the roofer they used had no license. I mean, this is about as ridiculous as it comes. You know, hey, you could find something like that in the Three Stooges or something. You believe, no, that's Florida condo life. And okay, money was spent, roof wasn't there, so here comes the next roofer. Now you think the new board, because in the meanwhile the owners replaced the board because they were kind of mad, as you can imagine, the new board fails again to hire a roofer with a license. I mean, it's ridiculous if it wouldn't be so sad. And now they have a second roof which fails all kinds of guidelines and rules and regulations. And now they need a third one. And since there is absolutely no more money, there has to be a new special assessment.
So they weren't able to collect from the roofers that they had paid because those guys absconded with the money, presumably?
Yes, and the second one has to be torn down because they missed some basic technical issues. So they need to remove the roof again.
And how much did it cost to sue the owner?
Well, as far as I know, I think there were numbers of about $800,000 each time.
Each time, but what? Okay, so three times $800,000.
Well, it's from what I heard, and to be honest, I have to admit I didn't ask for the exact amounts, but from what I heard, we're talking here $2 million, give or take.
So we're talking $2 million, and then they sue the
homeowner. For a roof that could have been financed with about $800,000, and they would have gotten a good roof with good guarantees on it.
And they spend money suing the homeowner because the homeowner wanted to make sure that his home did not end up with a shoddy roof on it, right?
Right.
And this is supposed to be democracy, according to... Who?
To the CAI?
Democracy, you know, up close and personal, and protecting your property.
You know, according
values.
To Frank Rathburn, who just send an email to the guys in Arizona telling what a great organization the CEI is, and they do everything for the people in the association.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I read that email. I got a laugh. I really had to laugh because it wasn't funny anymore.
But
I'm sorry. You know, see, I'm German.
Wouldn't have been able to tell, Jan.
I read Goebbels' speeches. You know, hey. Great reminder. I'm sorry. I don't know sometimes where some people are coming from.
I know. I mean, you look at these stories, and you were telling me about this earlier, and you look at these stories, and I keep thinking, my goodness, and they tried to tell us that associations protect property values, that people could not afford to buy a home in this country if it weren't for associations. This was such a great invention because now, you know, the collective can go ahead and provide the amenities and the infrastructure that otherwise would be left to the individual. But, you know, we keep hearing stories like this. I mean, this is a horror story, but it's not certainly not the only one we've heard, is it?
Well, you know, in this case, we're talking about condominiums, and you know, in condominiums, you are kind of living together and have to live with each other. But nevertheless, you know, you can't leave that kind of amount to people who have no understanding on what they're doing. And to be very honest, you know, I'm retired, so I consider myself among the elderly. But, you know, there are, in the end, people who shouldn't drive anymore and shouldn't run board business anymore. You know, there is a limit to the age, and I'm sorry to say, but it would be hard to do, but... you know, from a certain age, people just don't get it anymore.
But Jan, look, I mean, let's boil this down to its very basics. This has really nothing to do with age. Some people are nuts at the age of 12, and some people have got all their faculties and are in fine order the older they get. I don't think that age really has a whole lot to do with it. I think you go deeper down to the actual concept and the way the whole program is supposed to work. And what you have is people paying into a big pot, and you have someone, whether they're well-meaning or ill-intentioned or whatever it is, you have one person, or it's not supposed to work out that way, but we all know that it usually does, who's got the last say-so on how that money is spent. I don't live in a condominium. I do live in an association. We do live on top of each other. I live in a townhouse. We own streets. I have been on the board, and I was young. I was in my 30s, early 40s when I was on the board. So, I mean, it's not, I wasn't elderly, and I wasn't, you know, I didn't have any physical problems or mental problems that, well, Terry might disagree with that one, but we won't go there, will we? But the thing is, you know, we were dealing with hundreds of thousands of dollars because we have streets. I don't know anything about whether a street needs to be sealed or, you know, whether it needs to be torn up and replaced. And you're sort of being pulled and pushed from all kinds of directions. It's the whole concept. You know, if you have a town, CAI will say, well, it's the same thing in a town. If you have a town, you have bigger money, you have the experts who have some kind of knowledge, whether the street needs to be redone, whether you need to tear up the pool and redo it, whatever the deal is, and you've got attorneys on staff that handle all of this stuff. The whole concept of having your house being held collateral because some goober out there decides they want to play King of the Hill and run your life for you is just a fallacy. It just doesn't work.
It can't work. The concept can't work. It is doomed to failure because, see, it is built upon the idea that the people who are in charge know what the heck they're doing. And sorry to say, there are good volunteers out there, there are willing volunteers out there, but there is, well, many, many who don't have the faintest idea what they should do. And they are often helped by people who don't know what they're doing either. You know, let's see, for example, the property manager. You know, CEI claims, oh, yeah, you know, they have all these letter salad behind their names, you know, and they passed all kinds of tests and whatever. Great, but how good is it? See, here comes the problem in Florida. Our CAMs are licensed. They have a CAM license. But the CAM tells board members who love to listen because they don't know what they should do to the advice given to them by these licensed managers. The only problem is if that advice is totally wrong and you complain about the CAM manager, the answer from the DBPR, which licensed these CAM managers, comes, oh, but the board is responsible. But see, the board hires so-called professionals in order to get the advice. And if they don't get the right advice, they're sitting there making mistakes, and the people they're paying to get the advice give them the wrong advice, and then the board is being blamed for the wrong advice they're paying for. How ridiculous can it get?
And yeah, I agree with you. I don't think you can tweak it and you can make something a little better for a few minutes or a few days or maybe even a couple of years. But in the long run, I think you've got a very unstable and faulty premise. And it's just not going to work. We're not, you know, we haven't taken into account the human factor. We haven't taken into account situations like we're dealing right now in terms of the economy. And you'd think that we would have learned our lesson because this is not the first time it's happened. This is, you know, we go through this every few years. It's cyclical. It'll go up, it'll go down. And we're still sort of piling things on top and adding more and more to the association infrastructure. And when you have a downturn in the economy, it's like every time it just gets worse and worse and worse. And we don't learn. We just never seem to learn from our mistakes.
Well, but see, that has as well to do with the fact that people are so gullible. You know, a lot of them just want to believe what they're being told because it's an easy way out for them, you know, because they feel they don't have to do anything. And then when the thing goes down the drain, they cry for help everywhere. Everybody's there. Why can't you help? Why can't you do this? You should have done this. Hey, where were you when we tried?
Yeah. I know.
Oh, yeah, but we didn't know. Well, if you would have cared about the biggest investment of your life, you would have known. There is enough information out there to know. It's not that it's top secret hidden by the CAI.
No, it's not. You're absolutely right. It's not. And I don't know what the answer is, Jan. You know, you can't make people believe what they don't want to believe. People have got rose-colored glasses on. People think that, you know, they can do whatever they want to do and it's going to go away. Or if they ignore it, it'll go away. And as long as they don't get involved, they're not going to be targeted. And it's just a mess.
Well, the problem is, actually, these associations drag families into financial disaster.
You were telling me, yeah, it does. I mean, I know, it really does. It sort of messes
you know,
up your life.
You know, for example, if the breadwinner loses a job, you know, if you don't pay your property taxes, you have a few years to work on it before they kick you out of your house. You know, even the mortgage companies are willing to work with you because they don't want your house. They're not in the business of owning real estate. You know, they will try their best to find a solution to avoid they having to foreclose on your home and throw you out. So here comes the little association where some board members are being told by an attorney, oh, you have to run to the courthouse, you know, you have to beat everybody else before they foreclose, and kick these neighbors out. Then the houses are empty and the people are complaining, oh, we don't get dues, what are we doing now? We have to mow their lawn. Oh,
we have to
who pays for that? Yeah, you do.
And we have to pay the cable bill, so you lose your home, so
right.
because we can't pay the cable bill, so everyone else can watch it.
Correct. Yes, and you know, then comes, oh, we didn't even want this cable service. You know, we would have rather have DirecTV. What? No problem. You can have DirecTV, but you pay still for your cable.
We're talking to Jan Bergman. Jan is president of the Florida-based Cyber Citizens for Justice. His website is ccfj.net. Check it out. Jan, at the top of the show, you said you were going to be holding town hall meetings. Is this CCFJ who's going to be holding them?
Yes.
You have them already planned?
The first one is planned, date is set. It will be on December 6th in Port Charlotte. And there will be a town hall meeting in end of January in Palm Beach County. Date and location are not 100% yet. And there will be as well a big town hall meeting in Miami-Dade about around the same time. It will be in preparation of the legislative session where we more or less will talk with the people about the bill proposal, which will be put together at that time. We want to hear comments. We want to hear what needs to be included, why certain things shouldn't be included. We really want the people to work on this bill, so we can say it is a bill that was put together with the help of the people involved, you know, with the people who have a vested interest in this issue.
Now, the bill that was just passed, that was sponsored by, I guess, Julio Rabina?
Yes.
That was just for condominiums?
It was for condominiums and for camps. Community association management regulation was very much enclosed in it.
Okay. But it did not affect HOAs?
No, not at all.
And so this time around, the next round, I guess, of legislation is going to be for homeowner associations, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So if you live in a single-family home or a townhouse that is part of an HOA and is not a condo, then this will cover you. Right now, what happens to the people who live in an HOA? I mean, they're not. There's really very few protections out there for them.
Well, right? we have many pages of statutes, but nobody to enforce it. The people who are in charge laugh about it because they know there's nobody there who will enforce it, who will hold them accountable for violating these statutes, knowingly violating them. And they know that the owners don't have the finances to challenge them in court, and that would be their only way out.
So when you end up with this new bill, you're looking at maybe having some kind of adult supervision, basically, from the state level, right?
Yes, it is desperately needed. I mean, there is no other way. And believe me, I'm not a fan of government involvement in everything. But this has gone too far. Too many people are involved. You know, we estimate that here in Florida, about 2.3 million homes are inside a mandatory homeowners association. And I'm not talking condos here or anything else.
I'm sorry, say that number again.
2.2 million homes.
This is not people, this is homes.
Homes, yes.
Wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot. But see, this is, you know, as well one of the reasons why we always say there is no choice. Because, see, we always say, oh, if you don't like to live in a homeowners association, then don't move into one. Well, here in Florida, that is not possible. You know, I actually moved 60 miles south because that was the only place I could find to build a house which was not part of any kind of mandatory homeowners association.
Yeah, it's not just in Florida. I mean, unfortunately, that seems to be happening across the country. And not only that, but we seem to have the gall and the audacity to export this god-awful program to the rest of the world. And
well, they tried in Europe, and they got the right answer in Europe.
Well, parts of Europe. I mean, they have them in some parts of Europe. They have them in England.
But only partially, and the concept works a little different. They don't have it in Europe. In Europe, in Germany, homeowners associations are illegal.
I like that.
one of the legislators, a German legislator, said in 2002, it's very nice, was a nice program you showed us, you know, nice presentation, but you know what you guys forget is we had Adolf. We don't need any more dictators here.
I like that.
it is a shame that you have to say things like that because, you know, we live in a country where everybody says it's a land of the free.
It's not.
Sometimes I consider that many people think that free is a four-letter word because we are really not free at all. We have more regulations than you can count. You have to have books to read through all the regulations. And these associations make it even worse because you have people who run the show, which more or less can't be held accountable for their actions, which can do anything. I mean, here in Florida, they can even embezzle money without being punished for it.
Well, wait a minute. You do have some kind of a pilot program. It's the only one I know of in the country.
For condos in Miami and in Broward County.
Is that still just for condos?
Yes.
Oh. How's the program working? I forgot to ask.
It is working out fine. It shows that it's needed. We get from many other counties, why don't we have it? You know, we have places where you can prove that the people took the money, but nobody will go after them. You know, state attorney says, hey, private contract, not our deal. Bye-bye.
That's got to stop. I mean, the government can't mandate it on one hand and then say it's a private contract, you agreed, and we're not going to do anything about it. So we'll just sit back and twiddle our thumbs while you're robbed blind.
What did it say in the contract I signed when I moved into an HOA that the president of the board is allowed to embezzle $500,000? I don't think I read that anywhere.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But still, they look at the whole thing. You know, if you walk into 7-Eleven and you stole some gum, and the owner of the 7-Eleven called the police, they'll get involved. I mean, that's a private property. It's certainly not government.
Yeah, and for a little piece of gum, you're sitting in handcuffed in the back of the police car. You know, but you steal $500,000 out of the coffers of the HOA, hey, you know, you shouldn't have done that. You know, don't you do that again. You know, that's really not nice to your neighbors. That's it. And the neighbors are left with suing the guy who embezzled the $500,000. You know, they spend a lot of legal fees on it, and when it comes to it, the guy declares bankrupt and says, oh, you can't touch me. Bye-bye.
You know, don't have any money.
Not only you're out of the $500,000, you're now as well out of all your attorney's fees you try to go after me.
But associations protect property values.
Oh, yeah, all day long.
Yeah, all day long. Jan, you were telling me yesterday, about some more lawsuits that you've been hearing about in Florida.
Well, there are plenty of lawsuits, and I can tell you more lawsuits than the courts would like to see. You know, when you talk with judges about, you know, HOA lawsuit, they tell you, oh, God, not again. You know, See, the problem is, and a good friend of mine who is retired, he was a judge here in Florida, he said to me once, he said, you know, in former times we had to deal with, you know, kids are playing the radio too loud on the patio, or the dog was barking, or some branches were hanging over the fence. All little tiny issues where the neighbors came to court, brought their arguments. It took us 5 minutes to sort it out, and everybody went home happily ever after, more or less. Nowadays, they're coming with three attorneys in suits. The lawsuit takes 3, 4, 5 years at a price of $100,000 and more. And it is mean-spirited. The people don't like each other. It's emotional. And because of it, it is very hard to find a settlement or a mediation agreement. And in the end, nobody is happy but the attorneys who made a lot of money out of it. And this judge said, it is a shame that we even have to deal with it.
Yeah, it is a shame. We're talking to Jan Bergman. Florida seems to have a different set of problems. You've got the hurricane-related ones. You've got the fact that a lot of people are only temporary residents down there, and they come for the winter. They're called snowbirds, and then they fly the coop when it gets too hot. And you were also telling me a little bit about the hurricane shutters. So when all of these snowbirds have gone home and the hurricanes come, because hurricane season is when it's hot, not when the snowbirds are there, right?
Right.
So what happens? Tell me a little bit about what happens. I know that hurricanes and hurricane screening is a big issue and a problem that you guys are facing down in Florida right now.
Well, more or less with hurricane shutters, we see the same problem as we do, for example, with rental issues. A few years back, you know, when most of these associations were created, there was not even a discussion about hurricane shutters. So original documents don't even touch the issue. You know, there is no mention about hurricane shutters and what you can and cannot do and so on. Only, you know, after the hurricanes which hit Florida in 2004 and 2005, you know, hurricane shutters came up. You know, nowadays, your homeowner's insurance even asks if your house has hurricane shutters according to code, and if yes, they even give you a discount. Now, this would all be fine and dandy, and nowadays these hurricane shutters look really nice. You know, it's not plywood nailed in front of the window openings. They have the color of the house. They look nice. You barely see it. Nevertheless, association boards feel that they're lowering the property values by having these shutters down and closed. And, you know, in one case, they even forced somebody who closed the shutters at the back of his house, which nobody could see. There was no access. You couldn't see it from the street. You couldn't see it from the neighbor's house that they were closed. They forced him to open these shutters. You know, what a ridiculous thing to do.
And the guy wasn't there.
The guy wasn't there. He was up in New York, you know. Mm-hmm. And they threatened him with fines, so he came down and opened the shutters again, you know. See, here comes, in my opinion, the big problem. Hurricane shutters are very valuable. You know, some of these shutters look very good. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, I see a lot of shutters which I already know from Europe, because the same shutters are used in Europe, you know, as protection against robbery or break-ins. And they look good, they have a nice color, and if the Architectural Review Committee approves them, they should look nice, because there they have the way of saying, hey, look, these shutters are no good, you can't have them. But once they are approved, there should be no limit when to close them. Because this is the problem. Here comes the management company and says, oh, this looks so ugly when they're all closed, you know. And we know somebody, you know, who for a certain fee will come along and close the shutters when there is a hurricane warning. Okay? Now, these little firms have barely any liability insurance. They take on every customer they can get hold of and get their money. Now here comes the hurricane. They took on many more objects than they can handle. So some shutters stay open. The hurricane comes, a house gets destroyed because the shutters were not closed. Because, see, somebody who has shutters doesn't have shatterproof windows. You know, if the shutters are open, these houses are very vulnerable. More vulnerable than others who don't have shutters, but have shatterproof windows. Now, houses destroyed. Now, the neighbors who complained before about these ugly shutters being closed will have to look for months and months at a destroyed house, which is definitely a much worse view than some shutters closed. And then comes the issue about liability, because the insurance company most likely will say, hey, looky here, you know, we gave you a big discount because you have shutters, meaning you have to close them as well when the hurricane comes. So the destruction of the house was caused because the shutters were not closed. So now the homeowner goes to the guy he hired to close the shutter. Well, the guy says, hey, look, I'm a limited liability. You know, I'm broke anyway, so tough luck. You know, my insurance is already used up. Do whatever you want. Okay. So now who do you think has the only deep pockets left? The Homeowners Association. Because they were the ones who made these stupid rules, who prevented the owner from closing his shutters when he wanted it, who told him to rely on the service to close his shutters at a given time, who didn't. Now, who is there? Do you think that the homeowner who loses $300,000 worth of home just sits down, cries, and does nothing? There are plenty of attorneys who will take on anybody they can hope for getting some money out of. And that is the Homeowners Association. And that is a danger I see. And there are many boards advised by managers and attorneys, oh, don't worry, you know, nobody will go after you. You know, I told one board president I talked to last week about this issue. I said, look, if your attorney tells you so, you know, let him sign you a piece of paper saying that any kind of legal fees which comes out of a problem as described will be covered by the law firm. They will take on free defense of the case. It will pay any kind of cost related, even punitive damages awarded to the homeowner. I said, if this attorney signs you this paper, go ahead.
Go for it, huh?
If not, you better watch out, because this is your money they're playing with.
That's true.
You know, and that is what people don't understand. These homeowners associations create a huge liability for the owners. You know, we have seen fair housing lawsuits here.
Yeah.
We have seen boards which discriminated against renters,
right,
against kids, against you name it.
Right.
These associations got hit with big punitive damages awarded in lawsuits. And guess who pays it? The homeowner.
But you see, they're getting their property values protected, enhanced, increased.
Yeah, well, so it is, you protect your property values if the association loses a discrimination case. And you find yourself waking up in the morning with a lien for $11,000 in your house. I am not sure if that's really good for your property value.
Well, that's what we're told. That's what, you know, Jan, we've been talking now for almost an hour, and there's nothing that we have mentioned at all in terms of all the problems that we're seeing, nothing that even remotely protects property values.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. I you know, we have been looking in these issues since years, because see, from the very beginning, that was always the argument of the CEI, of the service providers. Oh yeah, but you know, the money you pay monthly for these associations, you know, it's really worth the money because you get a lot out of it. It protects your property values. I'm still looking for the place where it's protected. It's not. It can cause huge liabilities. That's what it can do, really. And as long as people don't understand it, we will have a problem. See, our government was happy about these associations because it is more or less a double taxation. Because, see, in former times where you had single families homes down up and down the street, the county or the city was responsible for the streets. They were supposed to do the street lighting, you know, the walkways, whatever. You know, you name it, they had to, the county had to do it from your property taxes. Now you have a homeowners association where the homeowner pays the full property tax. You know, you don't get a discount because you live in a homeowners association, but then you pay your fees for the association, and the association, you know, pays for the roads, pays for the street lights, pays for children's playgrounds, you name it. All the things in former times city or county had to take care of. So our government is very happy about it because they get money and they don't have to give anything in return. You know, so they kind of, look, why do you think that many cities and counties tell developers you can only build if you create a mandatory homeowners association?
So basically what you're saying is that government is abdicating its duties and responsibilities to its citizens, and in order to get the citizens to buy into this, they are being lied to. They are told that their property values are being protected. They are told that they're going to be safer and more secure because they live in a gated community. They're being told all kinds of lies, and basically none of it is true. They risk their homes, they risk their lives, their quality of life is way down, and the government just sits there and collects the taxes. In a nutshell,
and they're very happy about it.
In a nutshell, have I got it?
Yeah.
In a nutshell, right. Jan, we're kind of running out of money. You've got about 2 minutes. What are the big things that you're seeing? What is it that the people want to come out of these new bills on the survey?
What we really need is to protect the owners against frivolous lawsuits, frivolous waste of money, spending of money which is ill-advised. It is easy to spend money if you can just say, oh, no more money in the till. Hey, look, we levy a special assessment. You know, people who are in charge, who are in charge of our money, have to be accountable for that. You know, it can't be that they knowingly violate statutes, wasting our money, and everybody shrugs his or her shoulders. You know, that is not possible. With our economy, we really can't afford more waste of money than we already see. You know, our owners have to be protected, otherwise the problem will even grow. And we already have a problem big enough, believe me.
I agree. Jan, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck with the town hall meetings. I know that you've got a lot of people in Florida who come and who attend and who are really very grateful for everything that you do. I hear from a lot of them that they are very lucky and fortunate, and they know it, that you're there and that you're working hard to protect their rights. And
but I have to say one thing. Over the years, I have a real good group of people, volunteers, members of CCFJ, who are supporting it. See, when we created the survey, we really immediately got hit with much more answers than we expected. You know, I send an email out for help, you know, working on with tabulating these surveys.
Yeah.
And we had immediately more volunteers than we ever needed. You know, it is really great. I can really say we're happy about the great teamwork, the great people we have in our organization, our members, who are willing to really do something about it and not just sit there and bitch.
Jan, thank you so much. And thank you for joining us today. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.